Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top of Daf Hey. As we've been pointing out in the last couple of shiurim, we're in the middle of a discussion, a rather long discussion, and hence anyone who is a first-time listener would by all means need to have listened to our previous shiurim, as this is one continuum. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, in which we indicate that this topic lasts ad omid beis, chipus mokor l'rabbonan. We're going to be seeking out a source according to the rabbonan, the shelo dorshim ketana debei Rabbi Yishmael, who don't approach the psukim as did tano debei Rabbi Yishmael, a mokor. So, just to briefly review, in our previous discussion, and of course you see that we have a bow tie Roman numeral number 2, the Roman numeral number 1 had been presented already in our previous shiur, where a source for Asei Doichaloi Saseh was learned from Tzitzis, the Asei of Tzitzis, Doicha Doloi Saseh of Shatnez, and that eventually was derived from the extra term Semeru Pishtim that was found in Sefer Dvorim, and we had cited that Pasuk, Dvorim Perek Chofes Pasuk Yud Aleph, from which the Tana de Beirushmo learned their halacha, that the Asay of Tzitzis is Derech Veloy Saseh of Shatnez. So the Gemara continues now at the top, Tenach Lutana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. That we, Teach means things are fine, things work out, that we have a moker that Asei Derech Veloy Saseh from the extra term Semeru Pishtim. That was according to the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. And that was based on the fact that Tana Rabbi Shmuel understood that the word Begodim in the Torah means Semeru Pishtim. So there was no need to spell out in full words Semer Pishtim when the Pasuk already spoke about a Beged. So from this extra expression Semer Pishtim, we learned Asei Doichaloi Saseh L'Rabbonan Minolo, according to the Rabbonan who don't have that approach, the approach of Tana Rabbi Shmuel. So where do they learn Asei Doichaloi Saseh, that a positive command overrules, supersedes a negative command? In other words, when there is a question of do I observe the negative command at the expense of performing the positive command, when they conflict with one another, so the positive command overrules or supersedes the negative command. This, of course, has ramifications for the superstructure of our Gemara, namely that I need the Pasuk Aleha to tell me that I am not to perform mitzvahs yibum when it involves arayas. Without the word aleha that we had in the case of achos isha, this of course is all review, we've learned this in the past, without the word aleha, I would have said asei doicha lois asei. So in order to justify the use of the word aleha, we have to establish that there is such a concept of asei doicha lois asei, which would have told me that I should do yibum even if it means marrying an erva. So we have to find a source for that asei doicha lois asei, hence justifying aleha. So where did the Rabbanan learn in general that asei doicha lois asei? Now, some marking information. We have a volcano shape, or trapezoid if you prefer, and under our Mivneh heading You can see on the side of the Gemara, this is introduced as a ma'akav, a means of keeping track of a vigorous give and take structure. So with the narrow part facing upwards, these are makoros l'rabbonon sha'aseh doicha lo isaseh. So sources, according to the Rabbonon, that the positive supersedes, overrules the negative. The inverted trapezoid indicates pirchos v'kushos. These are challenges or deflections of the attempted source. So the Gemara continues. Note, of course, that we have a very long marking. The Roman numeral number 2, you see, is a long point, essentially, that takes us till the upper third of Omid Beis. So according to the Rabbonan, where do we know Aseh Doicha Lo Isaseh? The Gemara answers, Nafka Luhu Mei Roishoi. They learn it from the word Rosho, and this is in the context of a Mitzora. Mitzora is a person who experienced Tumah as a result of a skin discoloration, and a Kohen establishing that he is a Mitzora, meaning that he is defiled, and at the end of his Tumah period, the Torah mentions that he must cut all of his body hair. When we speak about all of his body, that would include, one would think, it would include his head. So the question is, as far as the pasuk is concerned, we'll see that momentarily, why does the Torah specify the need of the Mitzora to shave his head when the Torah already tells us that he must shave the hair from his entire body? So the Gemara continues. Desanyo, Roshoi, Ma Tamad Lomar. Why does the Torah specify Rosho? Lefishin Amar, the Posuk says, Lo Sakifu Pas Roshchem. Now this Posuk is not in the context of Mitzor, it's a general Posuk that one shall not shave his head around. Pas Roshchem has to do with the removal of literally the corners of his head. We call it removal of one's peos, the hair that grows in the area of one's temples, near one's ears. One is not to shave that off. Lo sakifu pa'as roshchem. Shomea ani, I would have thought, af mitzora kein, that the prohibition extends to a mitzora as well. That even though the mitzora is instructed to shave his body, not to shave his head because of this isur of lo sakifu pas roshchem. Talmud lomar roishoi. Therefore, the Torah has to specify that in the case of the mitzora, he is to remove the hair from his head. Because of our high tano, this tano is of the opinion hakofas kol harosh shmo hakofa, that the prohibition of bal takif of lo sakifu includes a case where someone shaves his entire head. If someone were to shave the entire all the hair from his head, I don't know what you call that in terms of contemporary haircut styles, but it's a totally smoothing out the bowling pin style haircut where the entire hair of one's head is shaved off, that is included according to this Tana as a violation of Lo Sakifu Pas Roshchem. And yet that is what the Mitzora must do. So what do we see from here? We see that the Aseh, the positive command of Tiglachas Mitzora, is doche, overrules the negative command of Lo Sakifu. The Gemara, and now, as a result of that, then we see in general there is a principle of Aseh Doicha Lo Isaseh, and hence, in order to be Mekayim Yibum, we would do that even if it means taking in an erva, so that if Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Reuven married Shimon's daughter, upon the death of Reuven, leaving no children, Shimon would marry the widow. And who is that? His own daughter. Why? The aseh of Yibum is doiche veloy saseh. Then that's why we need the Torah. Tell me, Aleha, the extra word that we had in the case of Achaz Isha, that don't, in the case of Yibum, don't allow the aseh to doiche veloy saseh. So the basis of aseh doiche veloy saseh, according to the Rabbanon, would be the aseh of Mitzora being doiche veloy saseh of Baal Takif. Ika lemifrach. We can, though, challenge this. This cannot be our source. Ma lelav dehakofa shekein lav she'ein shaveh bakoil. It's easy to push off, to overrule, to supersede the lav of shaving one's head, because it is a lav that applies only to men. It doesn't apply to women. So in such a case, we understand that there is a concept of aseh doiche veloy saseh. That's not the case with regard to Yibum and Achos Isha. Where would you know that in a lav hashoveh bakol, aseh doiche veloy saseh? Maybe not. And if not, I don't need aleha. So the question comes back, what would I need aleha for in the first place? Elo asyo mizekono. The concept of aseh doiche veloy saseh will be learned once again from the Parsha of Mitzora. However, this time we're focusing on the word zekono. These words, rosho and zekono, appear in the Pasuk Vayikra, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Tes. We have this quoted on the side of the Gemara, where it says, V'hoyo v'yom ha'shvi galach es kol sa'aro, es rosho v'es zekono v'es gabo yiseno v'es kol sa'aro yigaleach. So the word zekono will be the key word, the extra word in the context of Mitzora. Desanya, zekono matam olomer. What do you need the Torah to spell out zekono in the case of the shaving of the Mitzora when his entire body hair is removed anyway? Lefi shenemar, because it says in the context of the Kohanim, upas zekonam lo yigalechu, that the Torah prohibits in Parshas Emor, in Sefer Vayikra, which is a section that deals with Kohanim, it says they shall not shave the corners of their beards. This has to do with the we'll say, the general principle of the prohibition of shaving with a razor blade. Upas zekonam lo yigalechu. So they're not to shave their beards with razors. Shomea ani af kohi metzora kein. Since the Torah prohibits Kohanim from shaving their beards, I would think that a Kohen who happened to be a Mitzora is also restricted. Talmud Lomar Zekono, the Torah goes out of its way to say the beard of the Mitzora must be shaven, including the beards of Kohanim that were Mitzorayim. Now, you'll ask, but once again, is this not a case of a lav shein shava bakol? This is a pasuk by Kohanim. Vim eino inyan lav shein shava bakol. If in fact, it doesn't relate to that kind of lav, because we already had a source for a lav shein l'shava bakol, the Baal Takif issue from before, so you don't need to say that again. Teneo inyi l'lav ha'shava bakol. So we'll apply this, the posuk of zikono, to tell me that even in a lav ha'shava bakol, the asay of Taras Mitzora is doiche, a negative command. Any negative command, even olav hashoveh bakol. So we have a source, aseh doiche loisaseh. And with that in mind, I understand why I need oleho in the case of Yibum to tell me, don't allow over there, aseh to doiche loisaseh. Ve'akati, challenge, again, a challenge. Ve'akati itzderich. I need the posuk of zekono by the Kohanim for itself. It's not available to teach me about other topics or general rules. Sago daita chamina. Without the posuk, I would have thought shiny Kohanim. The realm of Kohanim is different. Hoyol v'riba bohena kosuv mitzvus yiseros. Since we find by Kehanim additional mitzvahs that apply to them that don't apply to the general public. Afilu lav she'ein shove bakol lo dochi. I would have thought that even, we'll call this minor level negative commands, a lav that's not universal, a non-universal lav, cannot be superseded. Komash malon didochi. I need zekano specifically by kohanim to tell me the asay is doicha the loisase, and the kohen mitzora shaves his beard. But I can't use this to tell me a general principle of asay doicha loisase. Elo asya me roishoy dahachtano. The mokar for the Rabbonon of Aseh Doicha Loisaseh will be learned from Roshoi according to the following Tana. Desanya. Roshoi. Again, you have the word Roshoi by the Mitzora. Matam Olomar. What do I need the Torah to tell me that the Mitzora shaves his head when the Pasuk already said he shaves all of his hair? Lefin Shenemar. Because there is a Pasuk by a Nozir. A Nozir is someone who took upon himself a vow not to drink wine or grape products, nor take a haircut, nor to defile himself to the dead. That is the nozir. The nozir has numerous restrictions. It says in the case of a nozir, tar lo yavor al roshoy. He shall not shave his head. Tar is a blade. He shall not take a razor and shave his head. Shomea ni af mitzora v'nozir kein. I would think that a person who happened to be a Nazir and also a Mitzora, the same restriction would apply. That the Nazir who was a Mitzora and became Tomer, left his Tzoras, he wouldn't be able to shave his head because he's a Nazir. Talmud Loma Roshoi. Therefore, the word Rosho, which is a positive command, that's an Asay, Doiche, Loisaseh, the Loisaseh of Tavar, Lo Yava Rosh, Lo is a negative word. Do not have a razor on his head. So we see that the Asay of Taras Mitzorah, the positive command of Mitzorah purification, overrules the negative command concerning the Nozir. So this would be our proof in general that Asay Doicha Loisaseh, hence justifying Oleho in the context of Yibum. Don't allow Asay of Yibum to Doicha the Loisase of Arayas. Iko Lemifrach. But we can challenge this source as well. Ma Lenozir Mitzura Sheken Yeshno B'She'ela. Asay Doicha Loisase over here, that's easy to see because it's a very weak Loisase. It's a weak negative command. What was the negative command? It concerned a Nozir not shaving his head. But the whole realm of Nazirus is a low level, a light level area of prohibition, in the sense that it can be nullified through She'ela. She'ela means approaching a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, and expressing your dissatisfaction, your regrets with having accepted Nazirus on yourself in the first place, and he can absolve you of the Nazir vow requirements. So therefore, the positive command of Taras Mitzora can easily push off the negative commands of Nazirus when Nazirus itself is a light level area of halacha. The Ilo Te Mahachi. If you don't accept this logic, ha de kaimolon di ein asay doicha loisaseh veasay, we have a principle that a positive command cannot overrule another area where there's conflict between the positive area and another area that has two elements, a loisaseh and an asay. That's a general idea. Once again, that a positive command cannot push off that which is negative plus positive. That's a rule. Well, ligmar minozir. I would have been able to, if Nazir was a regular realm of halacha, I would have been able to learn from Nazir that an asay is doiche eloisas an asay. You see, in the case, a Nazir has in it has two elements. There is an asay and a loisase. The loisase is, we had already, tar loyover al roishoi, and there's an asay, kadoshia gadel pera. There's a positive command as well. And we know that in the case of a Nazir, when he is a Mitzorah, so the asay tells us that the Nazir is to take a haircut. What are we in effect doing? We're allowing the positive command of Mitzorah to overrule the negative and positive that you find by the Nazir. Elo mi Nazir mai taima lo gamrinon. Why is it then that we don't learn from Nazir? And we conclude rather that an asay is not able to overrule a loisas an asay. Deiko lemifrach. The reason I don't learn from Nazir is because shekein yeshno b'sheila nazirus is a weak area of halacha. It can be easily undone. It can be absolved, and hence other mitzvahs can overrule nazirus. Hachanami. So to overhear in our discussion, we're not going to learn principles of asay doichalois asay from the case of Nazir, because ikol mifrach, I can always refute that as a source shekin yeshno b'sheila. The realm of Nazirus is subject to absolution through a Talmud Chacham, and only because of that, the asay of Mitzorah's Doche Nazirus. So I don't have a source yet that in general asay Doche Lois asay. Elo, and notice the volcano shape, narrow part facing up, again, an attempt to bring a source for the Rabbanan, that we do say positive is Doche Lois asay, negative in general. Elo li oilom, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Mikro Kamo. Nikro Kamo, Rashi points out, is Kilayim Betzitzis. The Rabbonim themselves are going to learn from the topic of Kilayim and Tzitzis, where there's a positive command of making Tzitzis, even when it involves doing it in a Shatnez environment. But we asked, according to the Rabbonim, I don't have an extra term of Tzemer Pishtim to tell me that. To tell me that tzitzis can be made in Kilayim. So the Gemara says, I have an answer. In Cain, if Tzemer Pishtim were really not extra, Lema Kro, the Pasuk could have said, Tzitzis Ta'ase Lecha. Gedilim lomali, the Torah uses an unusual word. In the topic of tzitzis, it says gedilim ta'ase l'cha. This is a reference again to the posuk in Dvorim, Perek Chof Beis, posuk Yud Aleph. We saw this posuk quoted on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph at the top, where it said lo silba shatnez gedilim ta'ase l'cha. If the Torah was not interested in telling me asay doicha lois asay, it would have used the word tzitzis, but it didn't. It used an unusual word, gedilim. Shma mino lafnuye, the fact that it used the unusual word, it tells me that the pasuk is available. Lafnuye means it's available to teach me that tzitzis are doiche shatnez. The asay of tzitzis doiche the lois asay of shatnez. The Gemara asks, but that's not true that gedilim is an extra, an unusual expression. Highly shiro hudasa. It is there to tell me amounts, shiro, quantities, amounts of string, number of strings that comprise the mitzvah of tzitzis. Gedil equals Shnayim. When you see the word Gedil, that indicates the presence of two strings. Gedilim equals Arba'a, the presence of four strings. And the mitzvah of tzitzis is Asei Gedil Uposlehu Mitocho, which basically means that I take the four strings and I insert them into the hole in the corner of a garment, and I then proceed to tie the knots and the coils that constitute the tzitzis, so that you make the tzitzis by making knots and coils and then leaving the lower section of that untied, loose strings. So gedilim is not available. So how do you see from tzitzis ase doiche lo isase? In kain, lemakro lo silva shatnes tzemru pishtim. Yachdov loma li. There's another word in that pasuk that is extra, the word yachdov. Shmamino lafnuye. So the word yachdov is there to teach me, it's available, it's afnuye, panui, it's there to tell me that in the case of tzitzis, the positive command of tzitzis is doche, the negative command of not wearing shatnez. Question, ve'akati miboyale, the pasuk is still necessary, l'toikef shtei techifois, is a chibor. Tkifa achas eino chibor. The word tkifa is the insertion of a needle in the process of making a stitch. If you insert a needle, and here we're talking about linen and wool. So imagine a thread of linen being inserted into a woolen garment. If you were to simply insert the thread by one needle, one act of drawing a needle with a linen thread attached to it, and you make one piercing motion, drawing the needle in one direction, and that's it. That would not be a violation of shatnez, because the linen string will slip right out. It's not together, yachdov, it's not together. So the word yachdov is there to tell me that the basic rules of shatnez. That shatnez is said to be violated when the needle stitch is made by two insertions, where you draw the needle with the linen thread, and then another drawing of the needle to create a stitch, two piercings. So that I don't have any extra words in the case of tzitzis to inform me that the ase doicha lo isase. The Gemara says, im kein, lichtoi brachmona lo silbash tzemer upishtim yachtov. Shatnez lomali. What is the word shatnez doing in the pasuk? If the pasuk is telling me simple, basic laws of shatnez, you can simply say, do not wear a garment that has tzemer upishtim that are sewn together, that are together, bonded together. Why? What do I gain by having the word shatnez in the posuk? Shmamino lafnuye. So the word shatnez is the extra expression, cluing me into the fact or the principle that I say doiche lo isase. The Gemara asks, "Va'akati miboyale." I need the word shatnez itself to tell me "Ache shua tovui venuz," that the violation of shatnez doesn't take place unless the materials are combed, spun, and woven. Only then do you have a problem of shatnez, and that's what is alluded to by the word shatnez. You'll notice that the word shatnez can be viewed, even though that's the way the word appears in the Torah, it is in effect an abbreviation of shua tovui venuz. Shua is combed, Tavui is spun, that after the strands are combed and smoothed out, they are then spun together, and Nuz is Oreg, woven. So do I not need Shatnez for that piece of information? The Gemara responds, Ela Kula Mishatnez Nafka. Now, here, Tosfos is essential for appreciating how is this an answer. It sounds like it's just a repeat of the question. So the Gemara, so Tosfos says, Kula Mishatnez Nafka, Midichtiv Shatnez, from the fact that the Torah used an unusual expression, Velo Kosiv, Velo Ksiv Kilayim, it says lo silba shatnez. It doesn't say in the pasuk lo silba kilayim. It says lo silba shatnez. Shaminon, I learned shua tovu v'nuz. Umidelo ksiv, and from the fact that the Torah doesn't write shua v'tovu v'nuz, behedyo, doesn't spell out the words in full explicitly. Shaminon, delafnuya kasi, it's here extra, it's here to, it's available, the midrash smuchin, to tell me to darshan proximity of phrases, and with that in mind, so I have the prohibition of wearing shatnez, and next to that, gedilim ta'aselecha, make for yourself tzitzis, telling me that the asay of tzitzis supersedes the negative command of shatnez. So the Gemara now takes tally of what we have accomplished till Na'ashkechon. We have found till now the Osi Aseh V'dochi Lo Yisaseh Greda, that there is the power of a positive command to supersede a standard or simple negative command. But another question remains that we had seen already at the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the second question that we said we would have to wait till here, till we see it dealt with. That's why you see I have a double star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Gimel Amud Beis. This is, it was at that point that the Gemara had left off with the issue of how do you know this question, which has relevance to our topic of Arayas, that an Asay would have the power. Let's read this in the Gemara. Loisase sheishbo kores heichashikon dedochi. Where do you find precedent for a positive command, like the case of Yibum, to overrule a negative command that carries with it a kores penalty? Which, in fact, is the case by Arayas. If a man ends up marrying his sister or his brother's wife's sister, I'd say his brother's sister, so he is involved with a negative command that carries with it a kores penalty. In fact, all the misos bezin, and even father marrying daughter, there's a potential for kores if there was no Adam and Asra. So where do you see that there was a havamina that asay of Yibum can overrule a negative command that carries with it a kores penalty? The itzderich oleho lemisra, which would hence justify the need of having the word oleho by achos isha to say otherwise. So just to review that point, we may have been a bit verbose on that. I need to find a precedent, namely elsewhere, that asay is doicha loisase sheyesh bo kores, in order to justify the need for aleha, to tell me that in the realm of yibum, I won't allow the asay of yibum to be doicha the loisase of arayas. So where do we find that? The chiteima neilaf mi mila, mila b'shabas. Now, on the side of the Gemara, we have a, you know, say a topic heading. From where do I know that an asay could overrule a negative command that carries with it a kores penalty, the tzorach aleha, that would then justify the need for aleha le'esor yibum im erva shehoisa eishes ochiv, to prohibit the surviving brother in marrying a an erva, a prohibited woman, who happened to have been married to his brother, who died without children. Structurally, we have triangles, and on the side, you can see under the Mivne heading, the triangles represent Nisyonis, Lintzoasei, Shedoi Chaloisas, Yishabokores. All of these, and there are quite a few of these triangles, they're all attempts to demonstrate an asay being doche, overruling a losase that has with it a kores penalty. But as each triangle appears, the Gemara rejects them, and that is highlighted with a double underline marking, dechia. So now we continue. Let's try to find an asay shedoi chaloisase shebosh kores. You might say, Nelef Mimila. We know that you're allowed to do a bris mila, a circumcision, on Shabbos. Now, the circumcision is a positive command. Doing malachas, as is the case of making a body incision with the and drawing blood, that is a violation of Shabbos. And Shabbos is a realm of halacha that if one violates it, would be chayev kores. So, we see that the aseh of mila, which we know you do on Shabbos. So I see that aseh is doich alois aseh sheish bo koreis. Unless I can't learn from that topic though. Ma le mila, shekei nichus su'aleh shlosh esrei brisois. Mila is a positive command, but it's not an ordinary positive command. It's a positive command that when you study the Chumash in Sefer Bereishis, which presents to us Avraham Avinu and his circumcision, the reference to covenant, bris, appears 13 times. That shows its extreme significance. So it might be the concept of aseh doich alois aseh sheish bo koreis might be limited to something like mila, but it's not a principle across the boards. So the Gemara says, mi pesach. We know that you you'll slaughter a Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, even if it coincides with Shabbos. So I'm doing the Mitzvah Saseh of Pesach, and thereby overruling the negative command of slaughtering animals on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Ma'ala Pesach Shekein Koreis. I can't learn from Pesach and create a general rule that I'll say Doich Elois Haseh Sheish Bo Koreis. When the case of Pesach is a very powerful, positive command. What is its unusual strength? It is such that if one does not perform the Korban Pesach, he himself will be Chayev Koreis. That's not the case with regard to the mitzvah of Yibum. That's not a positive command that the lack of fulfillment carries with it a penalty of Koreis. So I don't see yet justification for the word oleha based on the grounds that otherwise asay doich alois aseh sheish bo koreis. So where do we find that? Where do we find asay doich alois aseh sheish bo koreis? Mara tries another topic. Mi tomid. Tomid is a sacrifice offered in the Beis Hamikdash, a public daily sacrifice, and it's offered even on Shabbos. So we have an asay of offering this sacrifice, overruling or superseding Shabbos, which has as part of it a negative command carrying with it a kores penalty. One says, no, but I can't learn from Tomid. Malu Tomid, Shekein Todir. The positive command of slaughtering the Tomid sacrifice, that is understood easily as why it oversees Shabbos, because it is a regular. Todir means it's frequent and regular. That, so an asay like that, that's todir, that can supersede lois aseh sheish bo koreis, but that's not the case with regard to a yavam, with regard to yavamis. It's not a regular daily occurrence. So I can't learn from tomid either. Mechado lo asya. From any one of these, Mila, Pesach, or Tom, for any one of them, lo asio, I do not derive a principle of aseh doich alois aseh sheish bo koreis. Teisi mitarti. maybe I can derive the principle by combining two of these examples. May hey Tasi, so from which two will I derive our principle? Mimila upesach. Maybe from looking at the common denominator between Milo and Pesach. Here we have examples of Aseh, Sheyesh Bo Yikores, and each one of them supersedes Alois Aseh. In other words, let's say that again. Milo and Pesach are both examples of an Aseh, and they are able to supersede. They're done on Shabbos, so they're superseding Aseh, Sheyesh Bo Yikores. The Gemara says, no, I can't. That doesn't prove a general principle. Shekane Kores, these two assays, Mila and Pesach, are unusual. They're unusually strong. Therefore, they overrule Alois Aseh Sheish Bo Kores. What is unusual about Mila and Pesach? Both of them, if one does not perform them, will himself be Chayev Kores. That's not the case with regard to Yibum. So I don't know that Yibum as an assay would Doich Alois Aseh Sheish Bo Kores, which would then justify the need for Aleha. The Gemara says, suggests mi Pesach v'Tomid. Maybe by looking at the common denominator between Pesach and Tomid, I see that Aseh Doiche Lois Aseh Sheish Bo Kores, because both the Pesach and the Tomid, they're positive commands, and they're both done on Shabbos. The Gemara says, I can't learn from them either. They are unusual assays. Shekein tzurich gavoya. They are, they serve the Almighty. Gavoya means that which is on high. They're both sacrificial, giving them added strength. And that's not the case in Yibum. Mi mila v'tomid. Maybe we should learn from a common denominator between mila and tomid. Mila being a non-Sorach Gavoa, and the Tomid being a non-Kores. The Gemara says, I can't learn from them either. Sheken Yeshnon Lifnei Hadibor Valiba Demanda Omar Oyla Shikrivu Yisrael Bamidbor Oylas Tomid Have. These mitzvahs, Mila and Tomid, are unusual. They have a certain uniqueness and strength to them, enabling them to be doiche, loisaseh, even sheyesh bo kores, because mila and tamid were stated before the giving of the Torah. That's lifnei hadibur. And to suggest that a korban tamid was practiced before the giving of the Torah, you must connect this with the opinion that says that the ola offering featured in the Chumash that the Jews offered in the Midbar, that Ola was in fact the Oilas Tomid Have. Once you make that assumption, so I see that even before the giving of the Torah, there was a Korban Tomid. Likewise, the Mitzvah of Mila existed before the giving of the Torah, before the Mount Sinai experience. So therefore they're unique, and they are positive commands that can overrule, that can supersede a negative command that has a chiyuv kores with it. Umikulu nami, here you have a suggestion and a rejection that are kind of immediate. From all of them, namely Mila, Pesach, and Tamid, I can't really learn from them. Shekein, Yeshnon, Lifnei Adibor. They all, not just Mila and Tamid, but Pesach as well, was before the giving of the Torah. So they are special, they are unique, and therefore they can supersede Shabbos, which is a Lois Aseh Sheish Bo Kores. But how am I going to know that there's such a concept of Aseh Derech Lois Aseh outside of this realm in order to justify Olea by Yibum? Maybe in general we don't say Aseh Derech Lois Aseh Sheish Bo Kores. Elo Itzterich. Now you notice we have a new house marking. On the side of the Gemara, take note, this house scheme lasts till Daf Ches Amud Aleph. It's one of the longest continual uses of a particular marking that's consistent over numerous Dapim of Gemara. So this house marking will appear and reappear in the next couple of dapim. These are nisyonos lahasbir lo matzrichon aleha. These are all attempts. Why do I need aleha in the realm of achazisha with regard to yibum? Why do I need lo matzrichon aleha? We've written on the side, less or yibum im erva. Mahaya havamina lahatir. What was the havamina to think that a surviving brother can marry his deceased brother's wife, who happened to be a prohibited woman to the surviving brother? Where would you have thought that that could have been done? Once I can tell you how I would have thought that that could have been done, I then will justify the need for the word aleha. Elo itzterich. Notice this is a long answer. I would have thought that I should derive halacha from the realm of honoring one's parents. The sanya, and that's all explained as part of this long answer. The Tanaic source says, Yochel yehe kibud av ve'em doiches Shabbos. Might it be that honoring one's parents, fulfilling their requests, supersedes Shabbos? You've got an asay of kibud av ve'em. Shabbos is a realm of lois asay. Talmud lomar ish imoy ve'oviv tirov es Shabbos osay tishmoru. That's a pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Kedoshim. Kuchem chayoven bechvodi. The Torah goes out of its way by stating the mitzvah of honoring one's parents, fearing one's parents, and the need to keep Shabbos. My lav, what are the circumstances that this pasuk is addressing? Of fearing one's parents and the keeping of Shabbos. What's the case? My lav, the omar le shchoit li, bashel li. One's father tells his son on Shabbos, slaughter an animal for me or cook up some food for me. Is a son to do that for his father on Shabbos? So we're telling you no. Why not? The time of the Kos Rachmon as Shabbos Osay Tishmo. Because after telling me the need of respecting and honoring and fulfilling one's parents' requests, the Torah immediately says, and you shall keep my Shabbos. So, how do I know that the asay of kibud av ve'em is not doiches Shabbos? Because the Torah has a special reference, es Shabbos osay tishmor. Oh, la bochi dochi. If not for that, I would have thought that the asay of kibud av ve'em would supersede Shabbos, even though Shabbos has with it a kores penalty. So what do we see? Through this inference, I see that in general there is such a rule that asay doiches lo osay tishmor kores. And if that be the case, if in order to prevent the surviving brother from marrying Reuven's widow, who's usher to Shimon, I need the word aleha. Because otherwise, I would have said, asay doiches lo osay tishmor kores. And how do I know such a principle exists? I know it from here through inference. The Gemara says, loy. And the squiggle underline in this sukya will be used to highlight the dechias, where any suggestion is then rejected. Someone says the analysis of the kibud av ve'em Shabbos story is not like we said. It's not that the father had asked the son to slaughter for him or cook up for him. If that had been the case, I wouldn't need the special pasuk of es Shabbos osay tishmor to tell me not to do that. That would have been obvious. Rather, loy, the lav is, we're at the top of Vav Amrav, lav de mechamer. The pasuk is not describing asay doiche loisa asay sheyesh bo kores. It's talking about the lav of mechamer. What's mechamer? That's having an animal carry burdens for a person on Shabbos, where you're leading around an animal while it's carrying a burden for you. Now that is true, it's a Shabbos violation, but it doesn't carry with it a kores penalty. So that's an example of a lav greda. So what the Torah is saying, that if one's parent asks him to do mechamer on Shabbos, so you have the aseh of kibud av v'aim, and you have the loisas of Shabbos, a simple loisas. It's not a loisas shesh b'koreis. It's a simple loisas. So does the child do so? No. Because it says, as Shabbos I tishmo. And from there, we can see that in general, though, if you didn't have the es Shabbos I tishmo, here by Shabbos, I would say in general, aseh doicha loisas. But only a loisas greida, like the case of Mechamer. But that would be obvious to us that a aseh doesn't overrule a lo sasah shemesh koreis. And if that's the case, I don't need oleha, because I wouldn't have thought anyway that yibum would overrule or supersede a case of yibum with an erva, which is a lo sasah sheyesh bo koreis. The Gemara reacts to what we just said regarding Mechamer. You'll notice that we have a house marking with the point facing up, which tells us that we're going back to the proof or the source mode that aseh doicha lois aseh sheyesh bo koreis. How do we come to that? So watch how the Gemara unfolds. V'afilu hachi lo dachi. With regard to lav de mechamer, are you going to say that aseh of kibud av v'aim is not doche the lav of mechamer? Ela dekayim molon. We hold in general the osi aseh v'dochi lo isaseh. The positive command overrules, supersedes a negative command. That's a principle that we hold by. Ligmar mehocha delo litchu. Why not learn from this very case of mechamer that the aseh is not doicha a simple loisase? Now we know that that's not true. We don't say that an aseh is not doicha. Therefore, the case of Shabbos, of Es Shabbos, Soysai Tishmoru, must be a case of Bashelili, where the parent is asking his child to do a real malacha that would have a kores penalty with it. And we are going to say that if not for the fact that the Pasuk says, Es Shabbos Tishmoru, in fact, a child would have cooked up something for his father upon his request, even if it was on Shabbos. So, we would have a source from this Ish Aviv Imo Tirov Es Shabbos Tishmoru, that aseh is doicha lo isaseh sheyesh bo koreis. We have a bracketed section. If we skip the brackets momentarily, at that point the Gemara will reject this approach. Ela mishum de'ikol mifrach ma lahanoch shekein hechsher mitzvah. In the case of Shabbos and parent asking his child to cook something up for him, there was a havamina that the child should do it, should cook up something for his father. And the Torah has to go out of its way to tell me, don't cook up something for your father who had requested it. Because that cooking, as I say, I would have thought you should do it, because that was the way to fulfill the mitzvah. There wasn't any other option. The mitzvah, by the way, of kibud av v'aim. The only way to have fulfilled it under those circumstances was by the son cooking something up, and therefore the Torah has to tell me, eshav sasetumish, don't do it. However, in the case of Yibum, there's a way to fulfill the Torah requirements of Yibum without any violation of Arayas whatsoever, namely through Chalitza. So in the realm of Yibum, I have no idea. I don't see any justification for Aleha. Now, there was a section that we skipped in the brackets. And now, we have a note. There's a double-starred note, and in the margin, we read, Besocha Sograyim, Agamora Male Efshorus Litchois. Within the brackets, Gemara will raise a possibility, an attempt to reject the proof from Shabbos. Veloimar Deshaini Lavin Shel Shabbos, that the negative commands of Shabbos are different. Avol Miyad Doiche Ezeh, the Gemara will then reject these points. Achara Sugrayim Agemara Be'emes Doiche Ez Hamodo Shel Basheli. We did that already, where the Gemara says that you can't see any principle from the Shabbos story, where we pointed out by Basheli there was a strong Havamina that the Aseh is Doicha Delos Aseh, because by cooking you're fulfilling the mitzvah and there's no other way to fulfill that mitzvah. Hence, the trust of God has a way to tell me not to do it. But in the case of Yibum, with an erva, there's another option altogether, and that is Chalitza. And hence, there was no Havamina in the first place that the Aseh of Yibum would be Dech Loisa Aseh Shiesh Boi Kores, namely the case of Yibum with an erva. And with that in mind, the Gemara will then have to justify why the Torah does spell out Olel anyway. Now, we go into the brackets. The Gemara had said that the case of Kibbur Ava'im and Shabbos could not have been a case of Mechamer, because if it was, then I would have learned a principle that ain aseh doicha lois aseh. But we know that aseh doicha lois aseh. Therefore, the case of Shabbos must have been bashel li, where there was an aseh being doicha lois aseh sheyesh bo kores, namely cooking on Shabbos. Vechitemo, you might say shiny lavi de Shabbos de chamiri. The lavim of Shabbos are different. The reason that we don't learn from Shabbos is because the negative commands are not simple negative commands, but they are stringent areas of halacha. But that's not so. It's not so that's to say that the lavim of Shabbos are different. We have a Tana that is speaking in general terms about general scenarios and proves his point from the case of Shabbos and doesn't reject it on the grounds that, well, Shabbos is different. Sanya. Here we'll show you an example where Shabbos is cited and it's not rejected on the grounds that its negative commands are more severe. The source tells us, Yochol Omar Lo Aviv, Hitamei, Oshomar Lo Al Tachsir. Imagine a father tells his son to defile himself. to, let us say, to enter a cemetery in order to return a lost object to somebody. Or a father tells his son, don't return a lost object. Yochol Yishmalo. Could it be that a son must listen to his father even if it involves violating Torah rules? Now, Hitame, by the way, we should point out, is a father who is a Kohen telling his son, the Kohen, to mitame himself. And it's prohibited for Kehanim to defile themselves to the dead. So, could it be that if a father instructs his son to violate a Torah rule that you shall listen to the father? Talmud Lomar, Ish imo voviv tiro, v'yashavso say tishmoru. That though one is obligated to honor his parents, he must keep the Shabbos. Kulchem chayovim b'chvoidi. Now we learn, what are we doing over here? We're learning from Shabbos that in general, when a parent tells his child to violate a negative command, the child is not to listen to the parent. And we're dealing with topics other than Shabbos. So that even though the source is the keeping of Shabbos, where the source itself indicates that a child is not to listen to his parent, which would be at the expense of keeping Shabbos, we nevertheless use that as a basis for all other mitzvahs. And we don't say, well, Shabbos is different and only there the child doesn't have to listen to his parent. But in general, a child is not to listen to his parent with regard to a request to violate any mitzvah. So, Shabbos doesn't represent some type of different realm. Hence, what do we see? That without a special Gzeiras HaKosuv, we would say that an aseh is doicha loisaseh, even if it carries with it a kores penalty. And with this in mind, that I do have a source for aseh doicha loisaseh sheyesh bo kores, namely the topic of Shabbos, and it's only because of the juxtaposition do I say otherwise, but in general, an aseh, like the case of Yibum, would be doicha loisaseh of arayas, hence I justify the need for oleho to tell me otherwise. However, at this point, the Gemara is doche, the Shabbos proof. Elo mishum deikula mifrach ma lahanoch shekein hechsher mitzvah. The case of Shabbos, why I need a special gzeres hakosuv es shabsois and tishmo to tell me that the child should not cook something up for his father who requested the cooking on Shabbos, is because the cooking of on Shabbos was the only way to have fulfilled the aseh of kibud aveim. Therefore, there was a havamina that the aseh should be doiche the loisaseh. However, with regard to Yibum, I have another track altogether to fulfill the Torah's expectations, and that's through Chalitza. So in the case of Yibum, I wouldn't have thought that we should allow a father to marry his daughter in order to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Yibum and thereby override the Lav of Erva. In such a case, he would have simply done Chalitza, freeing his daughter to marry out without violating the lav of Arayas. Being that that's the case, what do I need Oleha to tell me not to marry his daughter in fulfillment of Yibum? Even without Oleha, I would have expected him to take the Chalitza route. So what do I need Oleha for? In order to answer that, you'll notice the Gemara goes on with more attempts. By virtue of the fact we are learning in a daf yomi setup, we've already spilled over onto the new daf. This would be a place to pause, even though we are in fact pausing in the middle of a discussion, as we mentioned at the opening of our shir. So, Mr. Shem, next time we're going to pick up with this house marking to continue the search for the need for aleha, which, in other words, we're saying, I would have thought, and I say, is doiche aloisase sheyesh boi kores, which would have justified yibum with an erva. So I have to find, where does this havamina come from? Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.